I am thankful that God has enabled me to be an expository teacher. That's the only way you learn. Line by line, word by word. I want you to get something to write with, if you will. I have no idea where this is going. You study and you study and you study a little more. You write a few more notes. You read a little. You pray. And say, God, that's me. Verse 9, Revelation, chapter 1. We've read it. We will read it again. I, John, would you write your name above John? Let's get personal. I, Terry, Joey, Bill, Tom, Ben, Jim, Anise, Prissy, that's Jerry's wife. I, Terry, who also am your brother. You might want to underline that word and ask yourself this question. Is everybody here your brother and sister in Christ? If they are not, then make it happen. This church, this local assembly, is not about walking in here on Sunday, listening to some really good music, preaching, praying, dismissal prayer, then go home and live like you want from Monday through Saturday. The Bible says, and I'm really glad, and you are too, that we are to be intimate in our relationship with one another. It's not a pat on the back. It's more than a handshake. It's more than a hug. It's more than a kiss on the cheek. Some of you say, Terry, why do you kiss on the cheek? Because I was raised that way. My daddy is 93 years old. He doesn't get around worth a plug nickel. But he's still going to put those lips on my cheek when I go in and when I leave and says, I love you, son. I, Terry, I am your servant in Christ. I am your brother in the Lord. I don't want to just know you by, hello, how you doing, see you later. I really want to be your brother in Jesus Christ. I really want to pray for you. When something is going on in your life, I want to be one of those prayers being offered up for you. Can you imagine what it is to have some need or issue in your life? Maybe your marriage is about to crumble, and you're fighting hard to keep it together. You have opposition. His name is Satan. He would just as soon your marriage rot and go to hell. He doesn't care. But don't you feel good when about 200 prayer warriors begin to pray for you instead of just you praying or one and two praying? When you have that many prayer warriors praying for you, I want you to listen. Something is going to happen. Something is going to be moved. Something is going to change. I remember watching a Christian movie. I love the old grandma. She was black. The couple was black. She began to talk to this wife. The wife didn't really know how to address the issue of a husband that was here in yon with others. And she said, "Hun, you're going to have to get you a war room. You know where I'm going. You need to clean it out. And you get in there with your Bible. Just put a chair in there. And you start reading your Bible, the Word of God, and you start praying unto God, and you start making notes. And I promise you, something's going to change. Something is going to happen." Well, a little later on in the movie, the wife really got the hint. Because the old grandma would not leave her alone. Thank goodness for those staunch gospel grandmas. And this old gal was trying to fit in that war room. She'd get in there with Cheetos and something to drink. That wasn't working. Finally, she got the gist and the ideal of all of it. She began to get in that war room with the Word of God and with a notebook and something to write with. And she began to read the Word of God. And I want you to know the Word of God is not dead. The Word of God is alive. That's why when you witness to somebody that is unsaved, they will make faces. They will want to leave you. If it was a dead word, it wouldn't bother them. But because you're speaking the Word of God that is a live word, that has a power of God in it, then therefore when they hear it, they are going to be moved. But which direction will they go? This husband had been seeing this one and that one. His wife knew that. Then after she got to praying in the war room, she began to face Satan and the battles that were right there and in the lives of her husband and children. And that husband was supposed to see this lady. But all of a sudden, he couldn't figure it out. He didn't know what was going on, but he was saying, "I don't need to do this. I don't want to do this." And you could see the expression on his face. God was already at work. And God was working in his mind. God was giving him power. God was putting thoughts in there he had not had. There had been no opposition to what Satan was doing in his life. But when his wife got in the war room with the Word of God and began to write down what she was learning from the Word of God, the power of God began to move. That was one woman praying and an old grandma. Just imagine once again about 200 prayer warriors getting in a war closet and begin to pray by the Word of God and the power of Almighty God, knowing that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present and all-sufficient. Brother, again, things begin to move and things begin to change. That's what John is talking about right here. I am your brother in Jesus Christ, no matter what comes into your life. And I will pray for you as long as it takes. until that mountain, whatever that mountain is representing in your life or your marriage or your church family, whatever it is, the power of prayer is greater. The more that is praying, the more power that is going out. And Satan is a created being. He is not all powerful. He is not greater than the power of God, nor the power that the Word of God can deliver. Are you a brother in this church of every church member? I, Terry, who also am your brother. How many times have you read the word brother and went right on and never asked the question, what is a Christian brother? And what is the responsibilities of a Christian brother? I thought you just came, walked in and walked out and said, good luck, I'll pray for you. 9 out of 10 times, you ain't gonna pray. Or you might give a nickel prayer. God bless you. Have a good time. Hope you get well. I, Terry, who also am your brother and companion. Did you know you're not only a brother, but you are a companion in Philipsis? The word Philipsis in the Greek is tribulation. What is that saying right there? We're going to have tribulation. We're going to have trials and we're going to have hardships and we're going to have adversities. You can just count on it. God even allows it to come into your life and to my life. Why does He do that to His children? Because it is these hardships or adversities or times of trial that bring out things in your life that have been embedded for years. And because you have learned how to pray and people are praying for you, you begin to see yourself as you really are and what God wants you to be. You learn more about the Heavenly Father and what He is pulling out of you. My friends, prayer. Prayer room. Being a brother, being a companion. We'll define that a little later on. I, Terry, who also am your brother and your companion in tribulation. If you have not underlined the phrase companion in tribulation, I want you to do that right now. If you haven't underlined the word brother, underline it right now. Underline the word brother, companion in tribulation. I want you to connect the two. Now, there is something that about knocked me in the head, and I want to share it with you. Listen, when I read the word brother, and I read companion in tribulation, here's what came. We, as Christian brothers and sisters, are to face nothing alone. You're a brother. You need other people in your life that know the Lord Jesus Christ, and when they pray with the power of God in their prayers. We are not to face anything alone as a child of the living God. There's the word brother. That means somebody else, plural. You know what? You should have a whole church full of brothers and sisters, biblically speaking, that know what a Christian brother and sister is. We as Christian brothers and sisters face nothing alone. Why did He give you the Holy Spirit? Because you can't live the Christian life alone, on knowledge alone. The Holy Spirit is in you to be your teacher. He's your guide. He directs you. He divinely enables you. He empowers you. Brother, He's like a brother. He is there as your encourager. He's there to pick you up when you cannot walk. He's your brother. You remember that song years back? He ain't heavy. He's my brother. There is no load that will ever come into your life that will be too heavy for your brothers and sisters to kneel and gather around you and pray for God to go to work and bring about His deliverance and bring about what He wants to lift you to a higher degree of Christian living. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom, we're going to find that later on, and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. Why, John, are you on the island? Here it is. For the word of God, I chose to be a light in darkness. I chose a Christian life of no compromise. I chose to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I'm old in age and my body is old, but I am more in love with Jesus Christ than I have ever been. And I share the word with more authority and boldness than I ever have as a child of the living God. Can you imagine what it was like to hear John, your leader, the last of the apostles, say, I still have the authority of Almighty God, and I'm not backing down, and I am not backing away, and I'm old, but I pray for you. No matter what your age, no matter what your situation, I pray for you. I love you. I encourage you, and I'm not going to stop until the day that I die. Introduction. I, John, your brother, continued. In New Testament times, the word brother, you just thought you knew the word brother, carried another very significant meaning that doesn't exist in our world today. This word brother was also a special term used during the time of Alexander the Great to describe faithful soldiers. Underline faithful soldier. You may not know it, but you are called to be a faithful soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what it means. Faithful soldiers. Faithful to their commanding officer in charge. Who is your commanding officer? Jesus. It is Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ in charge of your life right now? Will you answer that yes or no? If it's no, then make it yes. Second meaning. Respect for the King's commandment, which is always wise, just, and good. That is a faithful soldier. Oh. I'm sorry, Terry. I haven't gotten away from the feel-good message yet. Are you asking me to be a soldier? Are you telling me that the Word of God is to train me? Are you telling me that I have to go through spiritual boot camp and get my rear end kicked a little here and a little there? Are you telling me that it's time for me to grow up in Jesus Christ and mature in Him until He is truly my King and my Lord and my Commander? And I am to listen to Him in everything that takes place in my life? Are you telling me I have to get past the feel-good messages? The answer is yes. You are a soldier, and soldiers are trained to learn how to stay in the fight. Amen. You have an opposing government. If the Democrats get the upper hand, don't fear, God's in control. Amen. And if He allows that to happen, the church has grown more under opposition than in good times. In 9/11, they filled the church houses up. But it didn't take long after that, they began to empty out again. They got over the threat. They got over the feeling. What I'm saying is this right here. You and I are called to be brothers. We are called to be companions in tribulation, whatever that tribulation may be. We stand as faithful soldiers, arm in arm. And we'll read more about that later. These fighting men were true brothers. Comrades. Underline the word comrade. A comrade is a companion. One who is there to give aid. Who leaves no one behind. You may walk in here wounded. But the healing gel of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, and His Word should be applied by your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Not one prayer, not two prayers. Until we see the wound heal up, we will keep on praying. Amen. Comrades, companion, one who is there to give aid, who leaves no one behind. Then there's partners. Partners is a team. We're a team. We do things together. We have individual gifts, but we work together under the Holy Spirit. Pray to Him. Ask Him, direct me. Move me. What do you want me to do? What is my spiritual gift that you may truly be praised and adored, and we may true what worship you and worship in truth and worship in spirit? These fighting men were true brothers. They were comrades and partners who united together. United together. If Christ wants us united together, guess who wants to separate us? His name is Satan. And he will walk right in Hainesville Baptist Church and do his best to do it. If someone thinks they're going to walk in here and separate what God has joined together, it's not going to happen. And you'll know it's not coming from God. It's coming from Satan. Because what God joins together is to stay together. Amen. And when you and I pray as these prayer warriors, you get your prayer closet, we will overcome any and every opposition that tries to come in here and overthrow the work of Almighty God. Amen. Who united together to fight the same battles, handle the same weapons, and to win the same wars. Go back and underline that phrase, handle the same weapons. And then turn to Ephesians chapter 6. If you don't think we have the same weapons, I'm going to prove it to you. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Here we go. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. Verse 10. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from Him and be empowered through your union with Him and in the power of His boundless might. Put on the armor of God. Did you get what he was actually saying? As a child of God, to be that prayer warrior He has called you to be the brother He's called you to be the companion in tribulation He has called you to be. He has to equip you with His equipment that is beyond human strength. If it's the armor of God, He didn't say it's the armor of a human being. He said it's the armor of God. To live the Christian life and be successful in prayer and moving mountains in your lives, whatever they may be, you've got to realize that God is giving you a help that is beyond the human way. Verse 11, put on, that's your responsibility. Put on the full armor of God Notice it's not my armor, it's not your armor, it's not the armor of a denomination, it's not the armor of the Pope. He says, put on the full armor of God, that which is beyond human help. You want to know why so many Christians are stuttering and stumbling? Because you're still trying to do it yourself. Well, I'm saved, Terry. I understand that. I got the Holy Spirit. I understand that. Just because you are a Christian doesn't mean now that you can do everything that you used to do before you got saved on your own. If you could do everything in your strength, why is God telling you to put on the armor of God? Amen. Because you can't do it in your strength. And that's why you're frustrated, and that's why you're disappointed that stuff is not working in your life that should be working as a child of the living God. What must I do? I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. I surrender all. When's the last time you put on all the armor of God? Or did you say, I'm going to leave this piece off because I think I can handle this in my own intellect, in my own physical strength, okay? I didn't read that like that, did you? Put on the full armor of God, for His precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavenly armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand. Stand up. Stand up. For Jesus. Isn't that what He's saying? God says, I want you to stand up for Jesus. I want you to stand your ground for Jesus. I want you to stand your ground in boldness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, on the bottom of those boots, there were cleats. And brother, when that foot was placed upon solid ground, those cleats dug in. And you could stand and face opposition and face the enemy. God says, I'm giving you the armor to go forward and not backward. When we pray for you, Satan is going to push back. When we pray for Harold, Satan is going to want to push back. Ben, you're next. Satan wants to push back. What does God say? Let him come nose to nose with you. You do what I tell you to do, the living God, and He cannot stand against the power of God and the Word of God being spoken. Amen. Baptist, you got to get over it. You might whisper the Word of God to your situation. That's why I get you a prayer room, prayer closet, prayer garage. I don't care, prayer car. I don't care where it is. Where you can out loud speak the Word of God toward that mountain that has been in your life for so long, causing so many problems, so much adversity, and so much hardship. Learn to speak the Word of God. When the Holy Spirit took Jesus into the wilderness, not Satan, the Holy Spirit took Jesus into the wilderness. What does that tell you? He'll take you in too. And He took Jesus in. Satan says, I've got Him here. And what did Jesus do? He quoted the Word of God. Amen. Right to him. If the Holy Spirit took Jesus in the wilderness, will He not take you in there from time to time? What does He want you to learn? How to face the enemy with the Word of God. I'll go ahead and go to verse. No, I'm not either. You're trying to jack around with me, boy. Here we go. Verse 12. For our struggle, you can take the word our and write your name. You're in it. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. Verse 13. Therefore, Put on the complete armor of God so that you'll be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger, and having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable. If we're going to pray about cancer, we ain't going to back up. Cancer's going to back up. You understand that? We are not going to take a sidestep or step backwards. When we pray to move forward as brothers and sisters and companions in tribulation. We ain't backing up. You don't have to back up. Jesus never did back up. And if this same Lord is in you and you have His word, why in the world would you back up? Fear and doubt is still in you. And you wonder why Jesus has you in that specific trial. We got to get rid of the fear, and we have to get rid of the doubt, and we have to learn to go forward by prayer and the power of prayer and the power of the Word of Almighty God. You say, Terry, that's Assembly of God, that's Pentecostal. You need to get that mess out of your mind. I'm taking you in the straight Word of the living God. You get in the book of Revelation, you get right here in Ephesians, and brother, they shoot straight with you and tell you the honest truth about everything that's going to happen in your life as a child of God. Here we go. Let's go verse 14. So stand firm. Stand firm. And hold your ground. Yesterday Jadae and I and little man went to watch a movie where these high school guys, three of them, fell through the ice out in the middle of a lake. They all three fell in. They all three came out, but one was already dead. They took him to the hospital, the emergency room, and they're doing all that good stuff to try to revive him. His mother would not accept it. They kind of thought she was crazy. She wasn't going to accept my son is dead. And she cried out to God. This really happened. She cried out to God. God, you can do something. You're the giver of life. Give life to my son. Nothing happens for a moment or two or three. Then it's not long. The heart begins to beat. He stays unconscious throughout the whole show till the end. But she never gave up. God could have taken him, yes. But he chose not to. And all along the movie, you begin to see why God kept him unconscious. For the mother, finally through frustration, believing in God, said, I had a baby once when I was 18 or 19. I wasn't ready for it. I gave it away. This boy that she was praying for, that was their adopted son. And on that rooftop, and it was cold and it was snowy, she finally started getting right with God. You know, that happens. And she said, I'm bossy. I try to boss everything and everybody. Tell them what to do. I love them, Lord. And then she finally came to the place and said, I surrender. I surrender. You have got to take over completely. And he did. A little while on into the movie, she trusted him so much they took everything off of him. The doctor said, he won't make it. There's no way he'll make it. She said, take it all off. They did. And he made it. He was in the water for 15, 20 minutes. And here's the amazing thing. There was a black guy, one of the first responders. And they were trying to fish and get him off the bottom, 20, 25 feet deep. And he heard a voice say, go back. Go back right over here. And he looked at his chief. He wasn't saying nothing. And he couldn't understand, so he went back where that voice told him to go. And he felt something, and he pulled the boy that was already dead up. They went back into the firehouse, the fire station. He said, yeah, I heard a voice out there. He said, Captain, I'm really glad that you told me to go back. He said, I didn't tell you that. After a short conversation, he said, God told you that. All the time the boy was unconscious and barely making it, oh, the lessons that were being uncovered and the answers that were coming. In the hospital one night, she heard a noise. She looked outside and there were probably about 200 people singing for his deliverance. Standing in the snow. Boy, what brothers and sisters, what companions during a time of tribulation. They just wouldn't give up. They wouldn't give in. The mother would not give up. The mother would not give in. She kept praying. She kept struggling. God kept teaching her. And when the lesson that was to be learned, and you could tell very clearly, then it was time for the boy to come back to live again. So stand firm, verse 14. Hold your ground, having tightened the wide band of truth, personal integrity, moral courage around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and upright heart, and having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace, in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability. Did you get that? Firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. That's the word. Above all, lift up the protective shield of faith with which you can extinguish all, A-L-L, not some, but all, every one of them, the flaming arrows of the evil one, that is Satan. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and petition. Pray with specific request at all times, on every occasion, and in every season, in the Spirit. And with this in view, stay alert. Alertness is needed, not panic. Stay alert with all perseverance. Perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. I keep you here another hour, but I'm not going to do it. I hope you'll read the rest of this, page 2 and page 3. You can understand it. You know where we're going. Now you ask yourself, am I really a brother and sister to the people of this assembly? Am I a companion in tribulation? Am I a soldier that'll fight for you? Does that bother you? That God wants you to go to battle? And He's given you the equipment. And He says you will be successful if you put on the full armor of God. Hainesville Baptist Church does not back up. We stand. We'll face hell. We'll face Satan. And whatever he's trying to tear up, we have a God who is greater. And if enough people believe and will pray, like that old grandma, I'm going to put myself on the line. Something is going to give. Something is going to change. Ben? Come on. Friday, Ben's going in for stent.
They don't know yet.
We don't know.
Left side of my heart. I don't have no blood.
Okay. Okay.
So,
okay. So, what do you think we're going to do?
Pray.
We're going to pray. We're going to pray like we did for Harold. This is not just cancer victims. This is everybody that says, I need it. There's a mountain in my life, and it needs to be moved.
Amen.
Amen. Right?
Amen.
Okay. So we're going to come up here and pray, just like we did with Harold. And you know what? I hope we never have to pray for you, but if we do, we will do it. Wouldn't you rather turn around and see more than just one person praying for you? I'd like to see 200 or 300 praying for you. Randy? Yeah, play that piano, buddy. A little music. Thank you. be physician.
Amen.
What is beyond human help and intelligence? There is the living God. We don't have to accept what we're told. Don't get me wrong. I believe in doctors and I believe in medication. God has blessed them. He's gifted them to be who they are and what they do. Don't ever forget that. But there's nothing wrong with standing and calling upon the living God to do what a human cannot do. We wouldn't have had that movie. We wouldn't have got to hear and see what God did. If it hadn't been for her crying out to God, "Help me, God, deliver my son." Looking death in the face. Does that bother you? Does it scare you? Is it kind of unknown to you? It's okay. It's okay. God could have not answered that prayer. He answers prayer, all prayer. You say, "Well, Terry, if the boy had not lived, would that have been an answer to prayer?" If you die as a Christian, that's ultimate healing, to be called on to be with the Lord.
Yes.
Somebody said, "Terry, would you hold your daddy back? Would you ask God to send him back?" I said, "Oh, no. Dad died. I know where he's going."
Yeah.
It's that ultimate healing. So God does answer your prayers. We look at it through these eyes and say, "Oh, God didn't answer because God let her die or God let him die." Brother, if that's the child of God, God said, "No, I just brought him home.